Harper Audio presents Four Weddings and a Sixpence, an anthology by Julia Quinn, Elizabeth Boyle, Laura Lee Gerke, and Stephanie Sloan. Performed by Mary Jane Wells. Something Old, Julia Quinn. Prologue. Kidmore End, near Reading, April 1818. Madame Rochambeau's gentle school for girls was, as the name might suggest, not rigorous. Pupils received 2 hours of lessons per day, followed by dance, music, or drawing, depending on the day of the week. The girls did not receive instruction in the classical languages, as their brothers routinely did at Eton and Harrow, but they were required to know the names of the major Greek and Latin writers, so that, as Madame Rochambeau frequently pointed out, they should not look silly at a dinner party if the topic arose. That was the crux of the curriculum, really. Things that will not make you look silly at a dinner party. Miss Beatrice Hayward, who had been boarding at Madame Rochambeau's since the age of 8, had once suggested it as the school's motto. This was not met with glad reception. B had never much minded the lack of Latin and Greek, but she really wished that Madame Rochambeau would see fit to hire a tutor for the sciences, stargazing in particular. When she was home, or rather her aunt's home, she didn't have one herself, she loved to lie on her back in the garden at night and stare at the skies. All of her pin money had gone toward the purchase of a book of astronomy, and she was trying to teach herself, but she was certain she'd have a much easier time of it with someone who actually knew what they were doing, not to mention a telescope. Miss Cordelia Padley had been at Madame Rochambeau's almost as long as Bee, having arrived at the age of 9. She was not an orphan, although with her father halfway across the world in India, she might well have been. Unlike Bee, Cordelia was a great heiress and arrived at school in possession of 12 day dresses and 4 pairs of shoes, which was precisely 4 times as many dresses as Bee and twice the shoes. Luckily for them both, since they were to share a room for a full 9 years, Cordelia's heart was as kind as her wallet was fat. 2 years later, another bed was fitted into the dormer room, and much to the surprise of everyone, the Lady Eleanor Daventry moved in. Madame Rochambeau's was a respectable school, reasonably well regarded, but it had never boasted an actual lady among its ranks before. Lady Eleanor was the only daughter of an earl, and no one, not even Ellie, understood why she'd been sent to Madame Rochambeau's school when all of her Daventry cousins had been educated in Berkshire, at the exclusive Badminton School for Proper Ladies. Prior to her days at Madame Rochambeau's, Ellie had had the services of a governess, an elegant and enigmatic French émigré, with blood rumoured to be as blue as that of the Daventrys. No one knew for sure, and Mademoiselle de la Claire did nothing to diffuse the air of mystery that wafted about her like a fine perfume. If the fair Mademoiselle was not precisely up to snuff as a teacher of English, history, and literature, she more than made up for it with her delicious Parisian accent, and by the time she was 6, Ellie spoke like a native. Which was why it surprised no one that, when she learned that Madame Rochambeau had been born in Limoges, she eagerly greeted her new headmistress with a lilting torrent of French. Madame Rochambeau replied in the same language, but only just. Perplexed, Ellie tried again. Perhaps the older woman was hard of hearing. She did look rather ancient, at least 40. But Madame Rochambeau just grunted out her answer, a rather badly pronounced, "Je ne sais quoi," and then announced she was needed elsewhere. Limoges was never mentioned again. "What on earth have we been learning?" Cordelia wondered, back in their room after Ellie's first day of lessons. "I don't know," B muttered, "but I don't think it's been French." "Combien de